Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Good evening, and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located in the city of Groton. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.06 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is the 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as experienced amateurs. Purpose of the net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio. Also to provide good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPS net is a directed open net. That means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list of comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have a question for the net. We will ask for your question after everyone has checked in. There are three sections to the TIPS net. The first, taking the longest, is the open net with rounds of questions and comments. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," then release the mic button and listen to ensure that no one else called at the same time you did. Then slowly give your call sign phonetically, like I did, Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, along with your name and location, and if you have a comment or question. Let me reset the repeater again. So this is Tim. My call sign is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, and I will be your net control station for this evening, and we'll start asking for check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Good evening, here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf. Name is Kevin, located in Norwich, and I actually have a question tonight about antennas.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango. Dave, in Preston, no questions at this time.
KC1, KLZ, Kilo Charlie 1, Kilo Lima Zulu, John in East Lyme.
Dealing with fox hunts in a rotating fox. But we'll start start with the top of the list, who also is the person with a question for the evening, Kevin, KA6PDG. Please come with your question now.
Hi, good evening, Tim and the Nat. Let me just make sure I'm here because I bumped a button. Let me listen for a sec. Okay, I think I'm here. You copy me okay, right, Tim?
That's an affirmative. You are definitely there, and I'm definitely here. Please proceed.
Well, that's a good way to start the net. We definitely want the net control to be there, or here, or somewhere. Well, good evening to everybody. Again, it's Kevin in Norwich, KA6PDG. And, well, let's see here. Here's my question. A few nights ago, actually, Sunday night, on the Race on Club Net, I think that's when it was, a station checked in, and we were complimenting him on his signal. He was up in Hebron working with a J-pole in his basement and getting into the Norwich repeater quite well. And as the conversation went on, the gentleman said that he was getting ready to experiment with something he called a magnetic loop antenna. And I assume from the context and the conversation that he was looking at this for VHF. I am not familiar with magnetic loop antennas. And one of the comments he made was that the magnetic loop antenna utilizes or takes advantage of the magnetic properties of the signal rather than the electrical properties of the signal. And as I have thought about this, I've scratched my head more and more because I'm not sure what that means or is there a difference or whatever. So while I'm someone who's very fascinated and interested in antennas, I can't profess to know a lot about them. I just know that you fiddle around with them enough and they work. So if anybody has information about magnetic loop antennas and how they work and why they work and what they work best for. And I find myself also thinking if there's a magnetic loop antenna, then might there be such a thing as a magnetic beam antenna or a magnetic dipole antenna, etc., etc. So I thought, well, if, you know, where else to bring such a query but the TIPSnet on Wednesday nights? And here I am. So any information about magnetic loop antennas or related devices would be of interest. KA6PDG, a nice hot cup of tea here on the table and getting ready to endure a couple of cold days. Back to Nat.
Yes, it's definitely going to be a cold one and for the next 48 hours, I guess. Down here in the city of Groton, we got some snow flurries this evening, but nothing that really stuck, so it's not too bad. But the temperature is dropping. We'll see how that goes. Myself, I don't proclaim... I've read the headlines of articles about magnetic loop antennas, but I've never really followed up on it, so I, for one, do not have a lot of information on that, or even a smattering of information. But perhaps the next person on the list might. Dave, K1DCT, any thoughts on magnetic loop antennas?
Well, good evening, Tim. Good evening to all those on the net. And I'm not really familiar with them, but I am sitting here in front of the magic box that connects to the interweb, as you would say, Tim. And what Kevin has said so far is correct. It's actually sensitive to the magnetic field, not the electric field. And off the top of my head, what I remember is they are either 180 degrees apart or 90 degrees apart, and I'm grasping. So they do act on a slightly different principle. I have actually conversed with some people on some of the digital modes that run mag loops, and they seem to communicate just fine, and I just have a piece of wire. So it just throws off random electrons and as I'm creating my QRM, and somehow they receive some slightly intelligible information from me, which is, well, probably pretty scarce. But that's about it. I can read off this this page on the interweb, but I don't really think anybody needs me to do that. So back to Net, K1DCT.
Every time I saw a magnetic loop antenna, I always thought of that loop antennas were primarily used more for receiving than for broadcasting. Lately, I have seen some articles that talk about some of the loop antennas you can broadcast from. So it might be interesting. It obviously would take up less space than a normal dipole and what have you. Although, I wonder what a 40-meter loop antenna would be, whether that would have to be, you know, two stories tall or something akin to that. But we'll see if anybody else has any thoughts on that. John, KC1KLZ, any thoughts or comments on that or anything else for that matter? This is KC1KLZ, this is KC1TWR.
As KC1KLZ. I don't have any thoughts on the matter. I got one of them copper J poles up in the attic. I guess I'm happy with it, not knowing much better about anything fancier. That's it. Bye.
Well, that's good. And you are coming into the repeater full quieting, 5-9. Very, very good signal. Not sure where you are in relation to the same repeater on Route 85. You're definitely reaching that repeater with no problem whatsoever. We're at the bottom of the list, so I'll do another quick call out. This is Tim. I'm in the city of Groton, and my call sign is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, and this is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club's TipsNet, where we hopefully can assist with people with any questions they may have about amateur radio, and if not, it'll make a good, interesting research point. Any further check-ins, please call now.
I don't think it's on my end. I think something's going on with the repeater. This is N2FYA.
Okay, that could be, because there was some static, and then you came in clear as a bell. So might be the wind, and maybe the antenna up there is getting some crackly points. The discussion at this point has been a question that Kevin, KA6PGG, raised. wanting to know a little bit more information about magnetic loop antennas and the fact that they are apparently use read magnetic fluctuations as opposed to electricity. Dave K1DCT did some quick research on the net and found that that does seem to be the case. We're going to go, because we were at the bottom of the list, I'm going to continue through the new people who just joined and see if, number one, if you know anything about these magnetic loop antennas, and also if you have any other points for discussion this evening. We'll start with Josh, K0JEB. This is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JB. I think my signal's fine. If you check me on the input, I believe we're experiencing some issues with the repeater this evening. As far as the magnetic loop antenna, I don't have any personal experience, but from some of the internet research I did in the last 30 seconds, one of the strong points that people have noticed is using a magnetic loop antenna, you don't get as much of the electrical interference from man-made sources like arcing and stuff like that in your neighborhood. So if you're experiencing like interference near you, using a magnetic loop antenna might cut down on all that interference and make it so you can get better reception. That's about all I have on there. And I don't have anything else to share with the group at this time, so I'll pass it back to you. KC1TWR is K0JB.
Okay, thank you, Josh. That adds a little bit more information to our collective knowledge about magnetic loop antennas. All good information. Interesting. John, W1JOP, do you have any thoughts on magnetic loop antennas or anything else you want to bring at this point to the conversation about anything else? W1JOP, this is KC1TWR.
Yeah, when I originally checked in, I was on my portable. When you called me, I had decided to come back in the ham shack and go on the base. I have no thoughts on the magnetic loop antennas. I did research them previously for HF. I know they're expensive or more expensive than a typical antenna. The plus that I think about them is they're good for apartment dwellers or those like myself who really cannot have a 40-foot tower or whatever in their backyard because A, I don't really have a backyard, and B, I don't have the space. But anyway, that's all of my thoughts on that. As far as the rest of it goes, I hope everybody hunkers down and gets ready for the cold. It's not going to last too long. Let me reset. It's only going to be really around for 48 hours. Sunday, they're looking at high temperatures on the shoreline here near 45 to 50, so it's definitely going to be a short-lived thing, so if we can get to the next 48 to 72 hours, we should be good. Back to Ned, W1JOP.
Thank you, John. Good information on the weather and gives us hope that the weekend will be good. Might be able to get out in our shorts. You never know. Okay, next on the list is John, N2FYA. Same questions apply to you, sir. This is KC1TWR.
Yeah, this is N2FYA. I hope I'm making the repeater okay. I'm just running an HT on a mag mount antenna out in my driveway. So, over here, Mystic. Unfortunately, I can't add anything to the topic there. I'm lucky I'm on the air, no less getting to know all of these different antennas that are out there and magnetic type. But I hope you can figure it all out.
I did have a question in regards to antenna tuners and what people might think is the best one to use for a 100-watt rig. You know, something in the, I guess, like MFJ sells 300-watt antenna tuners, but there's so many different ones out there, I'm not sure which one would be the best one to get. So if you're taking any further questions, that would be my question. So this is N2FYA, turning it back to Net Control.
Okay, very good. And you are reaching the repeater very well. There's the occasional tiny, tiny little crackle, but like you said, it's probably the problem on the repeater end. In order for it, we're always taking questions, and that's a good question. Can you give us a little bit more information, like what kind of an HF rig you're running and what kind of an antenna you're going to, or are these future plans, or you know, just something to round it out as far as for an antenna tuner to hopefully make our advice a little bit better for you. And N2FYA, this is KC1TWR.
Okay, this is N2FYA. Yeah, I'm running an ICOM 7300, and I know it's got the built-in antenna tuner on it, but I'm using ladder line cable going into an inverted V with 126 feet on each leg with 100 foot of ladder line cable. So I do need to use an external antenna tuner as far as I know. I don't think there's any way around that one. So that's why I was asking. Right now I have a little Barker and Williamson antenna tuner, which works, but the display on it is so small and the knobs are small, so it's kind of hard to adjust to get a perfectly flat SWR out of it, although it does achieve it if I spend some time with it. I had an MFJ 949C antenna tuner, but that one wound up smoking the toroid in it. And I haven't been able to find a replacement for that, or winding my own if I can find the toroid locally. So that's about where things stand right now. Back to Ned. This is N2FYA.
Okay, John. I was going to ask if you were looking for an automatic antenna tuner or one that does manual, but would I be correct in saying you prefer to do something where you can adjust it manually?
Yeah, I would have to adjust it manually because I don't think it would tune up to a ladder line type antenna with the balanced feed point, you know, out of the two wires on the 450 ohm ladder line.
Okay, very good. I myself don't have any recommendations. I'm still kind of a novice in the HF world, so I can't give you any good advice from my end, but maybe somebody else on here will be able to, or might be able to help point you towards a good source for some toroids. Before we go to the top of the list, I'd like to do another quick call out. This is Tim, Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. Looking for any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, that brings us back up to the top of the list. And Kevin, hopefully we've given you some information about the magnetic loop antennas. And we also have John's question about a good 100-watt antenna tuner. Any thoughts from you, sir? Kevin, K6PDG, this is Tim, KC1TWR.
All right, thanks, Tim. My radio that I'm transmitting on is back to wanting to decode the PL on the repeater. So I had to quick grab the headphones on the radio that's recording the net and figure out when the repeater was done IDing. Welcome to John, and a very good question. I'm not going to be able to help with that one. I'm not real knowledgeable about antenna tuners. It seems to me I have a friend out west who had the same problem though with the 949C, so that's kind of interesting. I think he ended up getting another MFJ tuner that accepted more power. I guess it depends on your duty cycle. If you're doing a lot of digital or CW or AM, or if you're just doing sideband. Anyway, I'll let those who know what they're talking about field those questions. I'll bet Dave might have some information. As far as the magnetic loop, thanks for the comments. They were all helpful. What Josh said was something I'd sort of heard too, because one of the people on the net the other night was talking about how he had looked into using the magnetic loop to get rid of local QR Nancy. And also, let me reset. Interested in what John JOP said as far as them supposedly being quite useful for apartment dwellers, and also that they were used on HF. So I don't know, when it gets back to John's turn, if he wants to expound a little bit more, particularly on the HF comment. And when he said, referred to apartment dwellers, I am one of those, and given the fact that I may have to move here in the next few months, and I have no idea what kind of place I'm going to find, my ears kind of perked up. And do apartment dwellers use magnetic loop antennas on HF, or was he referring to VHF, UHF? So when it gets back to John, if he wants to say a little bit more on that, that'd be great. Other than that, let's see if we can help John out. KA6PDG, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And you've been in that place you've been in for a long time, so I think moving may be a little traumatic for both you and Radio Cat Phoebe. But we'll see how things go, and hopefully you'll end up in the boat that's either equal to or better than the one you're in now. And hopefully HF friendly. That's one of the key things that I'm finding. Myself living in a condominium, John W1JOP, I know, just moved into a condo or an apartment or something. And there's several of us that have antenna restrictions that make life interesting, to say the least. Okay, we've got a lot of information we've covered so far, and we'll see if Dave has scurried out any further information that he might be able to share with us. K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
Oh, good evening again. Thanks for the opportunity to jump in here and spew my knowledge, how whether it's useful or not. But regarding the mag loop antennas, they are used for HF. There may also be ones for VHF, but I happen to be looking at one now on the interweb that does 17, 20, 30, and 40 meters. So it looks about the size of a basketball hoop. So they are doable. Efficiency wise, couldn't tell you. So, but you know, like I said previously, I have worked people that said that they're using them, and they were also either apartment or condo dwellers. And you know, they weren't local. I mean, they were Midwest anyway, on 20 meters, which about as good as it gets with today's solar cycle standards. So that's all I have about that. Let's see, regarding, I think it was John, the N2, I think it was Fox Yankee Alpha. I run a 7300 here, and I have a very long inverted V fed with ladder line, 450 ohm line, and I go to an external tuner. I found that the internal tuner, even with an external 4-to-1 Balun, wouldn't always find a happy spot. So I have a Vectronix tuner. It's good up to 1500 watts, but they have multiple models that, you know, if you want a 300 watt, you can probably save a little money. So that's my recommendation. Or, you know, if you find a good Murch, M-U-R-C-H, is a fantastic antenna tuner, if you can find them. are a bit rare. But of course, a Johnson or Eastit, you know, if you want to go big bucks, Palstar, you know, there's a lot of them out there. It depends how big your wallet wants to open up. So, but that'll definitely get you on the air, make your transceiver happy. Back to net, K1DCT.
K1DCT, net control, KC1TWR. Thanks, Dave. Very good information. I jotted down some notes myself. John, N2FYA, I do want to mention before I forget, I don't know if... I think this is the first time I've heard your call sign, so I don't know if you're new to the area or just whatever. But anyhow, twice a year, there's a the local amateur radio clubs have a ham auction up at the Gales Ferry Firehouse on Route 12. And Raceon in Norwich will have theirs on April 27th, the last Saturday in April. And then Tri-City will have theirs, Tri-City Amateur Radio Club will have theirs on the last Saturday of October, which I think is also the 27th. So you never know what you can find there, and you may find an antenna tuner there as well. But it's always a good place to go to pass on projects to other people or to find projects that somebody else decided not to work on that you might be interested in. But anyhow, let me reset. Okay. Yeah, very good information, Dave. Thank you. Okay, we'll go down to John, KC1KLZ. Are you finding this conversation of interest? This is KC1TWR.
It's KC1KLZ. Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of expanded my horizons. There's a lot more to learn out there than just the basic stuff, which I know very little about to start with. Back to net.
Yeah, very good. It's all good information, and some of it more so than others, but depends on the individual and what their interests are. So that's good. That's very good. Before we get too far, I did want to mention the one thing that I was going to bring, which is come springtime, we're going to start having some fox hunts where this is usually on 2-meter, and it's one person out there with a 2-meter radio and other people trying to find them. That's fun. It's a good activity, and usually people pair up with two people in a car and go searching, although you can't do it yourself. And I found an interesting article from out in the Midwest where somebody's, you know, one club got so good at fox hunting, they started to get swelled heads. And one guy said, well, maybe it's time to take him down a peg or two. So he built a fox that was on a rotating platform. It was using a dipole, it was on a rotating platform, and it would make about 8 revolutions per minute. And that made it a little bit more difficult to find. I found that of interest. But anyhow, at this point we'll go to Josh, K0JEB. Further thoughts or comments on what we've been talking about? This is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JEB. Oh man, don't even get me started about wanting to get a radio in the car for a fox hunt. That sounds like fun. With all this talk about antenna tuners, I had a quick question to throw at the group. I don't have an antenna tuner yet, but it's my understanding that all an antenna tuner does is pretty much stops the signal bounce back, the high SWR from going back into the radio and frying it. With everybody using antenna tuners, what band do you guys usually set for your HF antennas? Is it 40 meters, 20 meters, or is there a happy medium that you can have an antenna set at that will, with an antenna tuner, let you get all the bands? KC1TWR is K0JB.
Well, thank you, Josh. And by the way, you can do fox hunting with an HT. Usually the fox will broadcast at a planned time once every minute or 3 minutes or whatever for, let's
say 30 seconds, so you just make sure you'd be at a particular spot, jump out of the car, get ready, and then you can use your HT and use your body as a shield in order to try and get a location. But anyhow, getting onto the tuners, I believe the tuners are, again, I don't have that much experience, but I believe that each band, you would do tuning on each band. You don't just set the tuner to one setting, as it were. But I will let more experienced people and myself address that, and we'll go to John, W1JOP. This is KC1TWR.
I would be considered less experienced as far as, well, I have no experience HF-wise. I have a HF radio, but the Yaesu FT 897-1, I don't have the privileges, and two, I don't have it set up right now. But that radio does VHF, UHF, and HF, of course. So that's why I purchased it. But, don't have it set up right now. Anyway, as far as the magnetic loop, yeah. I'm looking at 10 through 40 meter loop right now. It's from Alpha. Dave, I think, mentioned it, or the antenna company. I mean, it's something you wouldn't want to mount inside. But it comes with the tripod, and seems like it's portable, but like I said, it's nothing you'd want to use inside. But as far as that goes, that's pretty much all I've got, so I'll pass it back to Nat, and I'm going to make this my final, because I've got some things to do. I'm lucky enough to be working outside tomorrow, so I got to find some warm weather wear before it gets too late here. KC1TWR, this is W1JOP.
W1JOP, KC1TWR. Thanks, John, and thanks for joining. And wish you luck tomorrow keeping warm. Get some of those pocket warmers or something, and hopefully you can come inside for hot chocolate now and then. Okay, next we'll move on to John, N2FYA, with all his discussion. Any comments? This is KC1TWR.
Yeah, this is N2FYA. Now, I have no further comments other to pass on to Josh that what the antenna does, it's an impedance match, actually, to make the radio see 50 ohms. That's what the radio looks for. So it tunes the antenna for 50 ohms. That's basically what it's doing. Otherwise, the RF does come back, and you will damage the radio. But that's all I can add on to that. And I got to do a little more homework on antenna tuners myself. I do have a Johnson Viking matchbox, one of those big bread box tuners. And it works like a charm, but that's the problem. It's a big bread box one. I'm looking for something more modernized right now. Plus, the Johnson won't tune 160 meter band. And my inverted V, by going 126 feet on each leg of the wire antenna, enables me to tune any of the bands 6 meters up to 160 meter band. So that's the reason they're 126 feet on each leg is more or less to get the 160 meter band. So that's all I can add on to this. I do want to do more research on the tuners because I know they added a third dial on there, which is like you do the quick first two and then you zero it in with the third. But that's all I know about it. So back it goes to Net. This is N2FYA. Oh, and by the way, you did ask me a question really quick if I'm new in the area. I've been in Mystic for 11 years. Let me just reset a second. Okay, I've been in Mystic 11 years, but I was in hiatus. I was off the radio completely, plus 4 additional years down in Long Island. So I was out of the hobby for like 15 years and finally got back into it this last August. So since that time, we managed to pick up a new radio, built our own inverted V, put up a 2-meter dual-band J-pole antenna, which gave me some hassle in the beginning, but we got that all ironed out. So slowly but surely, we're getting things up to running condition again. So back it goes to Met, KC1TWR, this is N2FYN.
N2FYA, KC1TWR. Thanks, John. And good. Welcome back into the hobby. Myself, just for full disclosure, I just got my license about 4.5 years ago, so I'm still kind of new to the hobby. But no, good. Glad you're back into it. Just FYI, we do have 3 amateur radio clubs in the area. We have Scram, so that meets over in Waterford. We have Tri-City that meets up in Montville on Route 32. And then Raison, which meets up in Norwich at one of the fire stations. And as a matter of fact, the Tri-City meeting is next Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. And they're going to have a demonstration, or a presentation, not a demonstration, a presentation about DMR radios. So if you're interested in that, stop on by. We'll do the presentation first, then the club will do their business meeting. But anyhow, if you go to tricityarc.com, you can find out more information. But anyhow, we're at the bottom of the list, and we'll do another call out. This is KC1TWR with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. Any further check-ins, please call now.
K0JB with a comment.
K0JEB, go ahead.
It's K0JB. Tim was a little confused. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club meeting is the second Tuesday of next month, so it won't be next Tuesday, it'll be the following Tuesday. K0JB, back to net.
Josh, are you picking on your elders? Thank you for the correction. Thank you very much. I've been spending the past 2 days thinking it was next Tuesday, but you're absolutely correct. That's only the first Tuesday of the month, so thank you. Yeah, so it'll be they meet on the second Tuesday of the month. Scrams meets on the first Thursday, and Raison meets on the third Thursday. Okay, I do want to mention before we start down the list again for probably the goodbye round, because we're getting pretty close, and don't forget we still have announcements and the swap portion of this, that I have spoken to a couple of people who do say that they do listen in without checking in, which I think is fine, absolutely fine. If they want to join, they can. If not, at least they're getting good information out of it, and hopefully some amusement at times. So I'm very happy if there are people who are just listening. Please feel free to do so. Okay, we're going to go to the top of the list, and we'll make this more or less the goodbye round, because it's about quarter of, and we've got about 6 people to get through, and the other 2 sections. So, Kevin, KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR.
Thanks, Jim. Well, I wouldn't call it the goodbye round unless you're going to close the net right away. I just had a piece of pound cake. I hope it did not affect my signal. Just a quick comment on Josh's remarks he made about antenna tuners. Josh, I think your assessment of what they do is pretty accurate as far as what kind of antenna and all that stuff. When I've used antenna tuners, it's always been with a pretty much a 75-meter/80-meter antenna, such as the G5RB. And the only exception, one time for a while I was using a trap vertical that was ground mounted, and it just needed help, even though it covered a lot of bands. So I think what I would assert is that you pick an antenna long enough for the lowest band you're going to use. And, for instance, my G5RV, 102 feet, ideal for 75 meters, but very tunable on 40 and 20 and 15 and 10 and all the rest of them. I think I'd have less success if I had a 20-meter dipole and tried to tune it on 80. So that's just my thoughts, and I'll pass back to Nat, KA6PDG.
No, thank you, Kevin. And you're right, I should not call it the goodbye round. I can, I guess, call it the last round of the first section or something of that nature. But, okay, we'll move on to Dave. K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
All right, yeah, okay, so I guess this is last call. Maybe. let's see, I'll polish up a few odds and ends here. Let's, yes, the antenna tuner. As I mentioned when I was talking about or making reference to it for John, the N2 station, it makes your rig happy. That's all it does. Efficiency, that remains to be seen. And as far as how much wire, as much wire as you can get out there in the air, in the attic, somewhere where you can make it radiate is the recommended amount. And let's see, one more comment. Oh yes, for John, N2FYA. Look into the Vectronic stuff. They make some small ones. They're switchable. 300 watts, it'll take up considerably less space than the Johnson Viking. A great matchbox, but you're correct, it will not do 160, and if that's where you want to be, then you might need to do something else. You could also try getting just a 4-to-1 Balun. You can buy one like you were going to put a dipole up with it or something, and kind of use it with what I would think is backwards, and see if your internal tuner will find a happy spot that way. That's it. Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, thank you, Dave. Good information all. By the way, I'm down here at Eastern Point Beach because of trying to get closer to the Salem repeater, and boy, did it just get windy. My whole car's rocking a bit. So whatever the blusteriness is, it's definitely hitting. Okay, we'll move on to KC1KLZ, and any final comments as far as this section of the net goes? John, KC1KLZ, any final comment for this part of the net or any other comment you wish to make at this point? Okay, maybe he had to drop off. So we'll move on to Josh, K0JEB, and as I said, with fox hunting, you don't necessarily need a mobile rig with an antenna and everything else. Matter of fact, one of the fox hunts that went on, I had my tape measure Yagi that I would keep in the back of the car with my HT, and I would know when they were going to broadcast, so I'd jump out of the car and get that all set up and start spinning around trying to local in on the signal. So, K0JEB, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JEB. Another trick I used to use when I used to fox hunt years ago on CB radio, and I'm pretty sure the same rule applies. If you have a mag mount antenna, instead of putting it on the roof of your vehicle, if you have a like a four-door sedan, you put it on the trunk or on the hood, so that way you have somewhat of a front-to-back ratio on the antenna, and it it helps what your partner see the signal when you're driving the car in different directions as well. So I didn't know if anybody knew about that one. Of course, I would never poke fun at any of my elders. If I did that, there wouldn't be too many people to talk to on the radio anymore. Other than that, back to you. KC1TWR is K0JB.
K0JB. KZ0JUB, KZ1TWR. No problems there, Josh. No problems whatsoever. And good advice about that is a good hack for trying to localize in a signal by putting the magnetic mount with most of the mass of the car either forward or aft and then working it from there. That's good. Okay, John, W1JOP dropped off. He had business he needed to attend to. So that brings us to John, N2FYA. Any further comments, sir?
No further comments over here. I was just on, while I was sitting here, I put up the Vectronics.com and was looking at some of the tuners there, and they got a VC300 tuner that looks pretty interesting. So I do appreciate that info that you passed on, Dave. But with that, we'll turn it back to net control. This is N2FYA, turning it back to KC1TWR.
Okay, very good. And I'm glad that we got some advice that is going to help you out, hopefully, from this net. Okay, before we go into the next section, do one last quick call out. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we conclude the first section. We have two more sections to go, and the second section deals with announcements and items of interest. So if anybody has any announcements about upcoming events or any items of interest, please call now.
Here is KA6PDG with one.
Okay, Kevin, KA6PDG, please proceed with your announcement.
All right, I thought it might be good to remind folks on the net and those who might be listening in the cracks. The Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net meets nightly at 9 o'clock on the Norwich repeater. That's 146.730. Offset, of course, is down 600 PLL, yeah, PL 156.7. If you're curious about traffic handling in the national traffic system, one of the things the net has been trying to stress the past few months is training. It is a training net, so it's always open to those who have questions or want to come on the net and send practice messages or get some practice receiving messages and delivering them to recipients. We also try and do a training night. I've been sort of spearheading that, and it's usually on Friday nights when I run the net. But training is welcome any evening. It doesn't have to be Friday night. So if you're curious about traffic handling, or maybe you used to be involved and want to get back to it and get a little practice, feel free. 9 o'clock every night on the Raycon repeater in Norwich for the Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net. And Tim, by the way, if fox hunters start getting big heads, you do a fox hunt on foot. That'll cure it. KA6PDG.
Very good, very good. By the way, the fox hunt that I mentioned where they were getting this old head, they were also doing nighttime fox hunting, which I thought was rather interesting. But yeah, on foot, that would be quite interesting. And good news and a good comment about the Eastern Connecticut Traffic Net. I will also throw out there that there is a group of amateur radio operators who meet every Thursday morning at 7 o'clock sharp when they open the doors at the Old Times Restaurant up in Norwich. They usually have breakfast starting at 7 and finish up about 8. And there's also another group of amateur radio operators who meet at the Montville Diner on Route 32 up in Montville. And they meet on Saturdays at 8 a.m. A little better, you get a little more sleep, and it's on a weekend, so sometimes that's helpful as well. And I think that's it for announcements. So I think we'll move on to the next part, which is the... Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or looking for amateur radio-related items? Please call now. Okay, nothing heard. However, I will do a continuation of the item that I had last week. It is a magnetic mount. I just dropped all my paperwork, so I got flustered. It is a CB radio. It's about 7 feet long, and it's designed actually for mobile use, for marine use. So it looks like it's the type that's designed to be bolted to the side or to the cabin of a sailing vessel or a motorboat. And I'm looking to find a home for it. If I can get any funds for it, they will go to the NFA Club, Radio Club, Amateur Radio Club up at NFA. Next week I'll have more definitive information on it. I didn't think to bring it with me down to the beach tonight, so we'll see how that goes. Any further questions, comments, or concerning this third section on the swap cell or looking for amateur radio-related items, please call now.
Did you say a 7-foot-long CB radio? Wow, I might be interested. KA6PDG.
Well, 7 feet long and CB radio antenna, that is. Sorry if I said radio. It's a 7 foot long CB antenna, fiberglass pole antenna.
Thank you.
Okay, that's what happens when I drop all my paperwork and so forth. Okay, that was the last call, and if we have no further check-ins, I'm going to close the net now. I'd like to thank all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club itself sponsors this net, and they have their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at 1031 Route 32, Montville. Meetings start at 7:30 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club can be found at www.tricityarc.com. That's TRICITYARC.com. We thank John W1AN for the use of this repeater, and this net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good evening and 73.
KA6.